time to hear from our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe, your store for everything door and more. Installing doors for your business, glass doors, sliding doors, and handicap accessible doors, plus frames and hardware. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.
Welcome back.
I screwed it up again every time. Every time we go to Elliot, they play something different, and I start talking over the tag. Elliot, I'm sorry. I screwed up again.
It's always someone else's fault, eh, Ryan?
No, it's my fault. It's entirely on me.
You're like, no, because you're like, oh, they always play something different, so you're giving yourself the out.
Yeah, we don't usually have a lovely voice lady sing. And now let's catch up with the one and only brilliant man of the era, Elliot Friedman. That's new to me. And then the tag after.
I like that one. You should record that one.
We'll get it done for next week. How's that sound?
Okay.
How are you? What's going on? Only two games tonight, tomorrow, and then
Australia into
the bye week. Oh, it was great. We luckily stayed away from the Fires, but no one cares about that. We care about your insights on the league right now and the, I guess, the bye weeks that have now begun.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of teams that are kind of just like hanging right now. I think Minnesota's one of those teams. I think Montreal's one of those teams. I think even, you know, the Rangers lost last night, but I think they got the Islanders on Tuesday, and after the break, they got a back-to-back with Detroit. So I think there's a lot of teams kind of hanging around saying, all right, let's figure out who we are and what we are and what the value of our players is. And when we get close, that'll determine what we actually want to do here.
We talked about it to kick off the show today. Five teams within a point in the Pacific, none of them good enough to crack the playoffs on the other side of the ledger, all counting their blessings that they're in the Pacific. But if you're a GM, are you saying this is our chance, or maybe we're not good enough that I should be pushing chips? And I'm fascinated to see how these five teams navigate the deadline.
Well, I think you want to make the playoffs, right, because it's so important for business. But what I think it might mean is that, look, Arizona already made its move, right? Like, I don't know if they're doing anything else. I think Edmonton is content to nibble around the edges. I think Calgary, we know what you're looking at. It was interesting to hear and to fully get Calgary mentioned with Calgary last week, because from what I'd heard, you know, you guys preferred somebody with term. I think that Vancouver, they're trying to clear space as opposed to add it. So I think what really it comes down to is, I think some of your teams might tinker or make a long-term move, but I don't see any of you making a big rental move, because while I do think you want to get in, I'm not sure you think that you're good enough to win. I think the one possible exception could be Vegas. I think they really believe they're better than they've shown. I think the move they made with the coaching says that they really believe they're better than they've shown. And if anybody's going to do something, you know, more interesting, I think they might be the one.
Yeah, it's just weird because I could be convinced that none of these teams are good enough to compete for a Stanley Cup, and I think many fans are there right now with the Pacific, and yet incredibly likely that one of these teams is in the Western Conference Final given the playoff format. That's quite the tight wire to walk.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the other thing, too, if you look at it, I mean, some of those teams like Winnipeg has games in hand, Nashville has games in hand, but, you know, you're thinking right now that five teams could come from your division.
As for the Flames, you mentioned a top six forward there. Are you of the mind that that's top priority, or one of many? Is a top four defenseman on that list? What is Brad Treliving's shopping list look like?
Yeah,
for Calgary.
I heard more forward than D. I mean, you guys could do some things around your blue line. You know, there's with Brody and Hamonic, but I really don't believe you're going to try to get weaker this year. Like, I think those moves are only happening if somebody comes in. I'm looking around. I'm seeing what's available out there. I think Carolina was willing to move a D like Gardner, but now that they lost Hamilton, that might not be the case. So I think that may have taken a defenseman off the board. Other than that, I'm looking at, you know, D who could be available. You know, if it's CeCe, for argument's sake, does he make you better?
Elliot Friedman joins us Mondays on Pinder and Steinberg. Peter Klein in this week.
Elliot, a couple notes from headlines over the weekend. Ilya Kovalchuk has found something in Montreal and appears to be clicking well there. Could he be someone who is on the move as we approach the trade deadline?
Well, I think it's going to depend on if Montreal feels they're still in it. You know, they looked a week ago dead, and now they've got a couple of wins, and they're kind of in it. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have to crawl over a lot of teams to get there. But while they're still in it, I wouldn't expect them to deal them. CJ said on Saturday night they think it's a third rounder that they're looking for if they move him. You know, he's proven he can still score. He's proven he's still a threat. You know, it was weird. They had him on the ice with a two-goal lead late, and he made a couple of plays that contributed to Vegas getting that game into overtime. So I think you got to be careful where you use him, Peter. But if I needed help on my power play or I needed someone who could score once in a while, he'd be somebody I'd be looking at.
And the Edmonton Oilers, close to an extension with Zach Cassian, that was brought up as a Spectre report over the weekend. Has there been any more movement on that?
It's going to happen, I think. It's just a matter of, from what I hear, it's pretty far down the line. Like, I think that's going to happen. And I wouldn't be surprised if Edmonton looked at extending some of their other depth guys. I don't think they'd be for a term or anything like that, but I could see them looking at guys like Josh Archibald, like maybe like a Nygaard or a Sheahan, and seeing if they could extend those guys too. I don't think those are big term or money deals. I think it's just sort of, you know, keeping their group, keeping some of those guys who played well for them in depth roles.
You mentioned Montreal a few times. There's a year and a half left on both Petrie and Gallagher. What would the temperature be if Montreal's out? The obvious, you know, have to be in sell mode. Would this be the opportunity to sell high? Would that be something that Marc Bergevin doesn't want to do? Would he be allowed to make a move like that, given it'll be 3 out of 4 years with no playoffs if they're in sell mode?
Well, I think that with Gallagher, I'd be shocked if they wanted to move him. I mean, they could probably get a ton for him. I mean, he's hurt right now, right? He could be out for a while, so that probably limits at this point in time. But I think generally, if healthy, he's very valuable. I can't see them trading Gallagher. He's so important to them. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that they don't have a lot of, I don't know, they don't have a lot of guys who run through a wall on you. And I think that's one of the problems. You don't have to be massive, but you have to be able to grind. And Gallagher's a guy who really grinds for them. I don't see it. Petrie, I think they're going to have an interesting decision to make on Petrie. I really do. I think that, you know, I think that they're going to have to make a call on him because he's going to be 33 years old when you extend him. And, like, on paper, you look at him overall and you're very happy with him as a player. I think he plays hard for them. I think he cares. But I think they're going to be wondering about the extension. You look what Toronto got for Muzzin. They got an AHL player, LA got for Muzzin. They got a good OHL prospect, an AHL player, and a first. So, you know, I think that's something. And I think Montreal's going to have to make a decision there, but I think it's going to depend on whether or not they're in a playoff race or not.
When you alluding to that injury earlier to Dougie Hamilton, I mean, that would be a significant chip to play. That's a right shot D-man with term.
Oh, they're not trading him. Or you're talking about
Petrie.
Petrie, you're talking about Hamilton.
Yeah, no, not Hamilton. Not the guy that's going to be dead the rest of the year.
Well, also, he's a guy with, what, 20 goals? Like, he was having an unbelievable year.
Kyle Palmieri is a name that we sort of have seen around. What are you hearing? Another guy that's hurt, by the way.
I had heard that Shiro wasn't going to do it. That he wanted to keep him. I think, like, the thing I heard about New Jersey is I asked around, what are they up to? And, you know, I got told in the last week they kind of reset after everything that happened and started asking around, like, if we do this, what would the value be? I don't think they want to trade him. I think you've got to give your fans a reason to go to the games. You've also got to create, like, what's the identity of players you want? Kyle Palmieri, to me, is a guy you want on your team, a guy who's worked to become a really good player in this league. You want to have pros around Jack Hughes as he takes over your team. I think, Ryan, they hold on to him. I could always be wrong, but I think they're going to hold on to him.
The Winnipeg Jets somehow have been hanging around this playoff race with all that's been going on around that team this year. They get another injury blow with Adam Lowry going to be missing a relatively significant chunk of time now. What do you see the Winnipeg Jets doing between now and February 24th?
Well, the problem is... The problem is that you got Bufflin there, right?
Yeah.
And you've got this $7.6 million cap hit that you don't know what's going to happen with it. It's really tangled them all year. You know, from a playoff point of view, I'm really starting to worry about them. I think Hellebuck has been unbelievable. He has had not only a Vezina-type season, but I think he's really had a Hart-type season. And I think he might be starting to wear down. And, I'll tell you this. I think now if I'm looking at coaches of the year, I'm looking at Sullivan, I'm looking at Tortorella, I think Berube should be in the conversation too. This whole Paul Maurice thing, I think that he has done an unbelievable job there in the sense that they had every reason to totally fold this year, and he's tried to create an atmosphere where he wouldn't let that happen. I don't know if the Jets are going to be able to do anything. I think the biggest problem is they're stuck because they don't know what's going to happen with Bufflin. Like, I think they've been around some things. I think they're around Joel Edmondson. I think they were interested in Falk. I think they've looked at some other things, and they're just stuck because they don't know what's going to happen with Bufflin. And I don't know what that's going to allow them to do. Perreault is a guy who I think they've tried to move for a while now, not because they don't like him, but just to try to open up some money. And they just haven't been able to do it. So I think they're kind of stuck until the Bufflin thing gets figured out.
How close are we to the Bufflin thing getting figured out, or is this still a marathon, not a sprint?
I think it's a marathon. You know, he's supposed to start skating any time now. But the last time I checked, which was last week, they hadn't set a date yet for the hearing, for the arbitration, the grievance. So, like, if he's just starting to skate now or around that time, around being ready to skate now, you know, how long do you think that's going to take him to be ready? It's going to be a little bit of time.
Walk us through your expectations for the Rangers in their crease. We've talked a lot of forward and D, but they seem to have an extra goaltender at this juncture with the strong play of Igor Shesterkin out of the gate.
Well, they've told people they're going to listen in on Georgiev, and I think they have. There are some teams who tell me they're not sure New York is really serious on doing this, but they're willing to listen. They think New York might just be testing the value, but hold. I mean, Shesterkin's only played, two games or a game or two? So he's talented, but they don't know what they have there. I think right now they're just sort of feeling it out. I'm not sure they're committed to anything. I think them and Toronto have jockeyed quite a bit. You know, I think Toronto was willing to do Bracco. I think the Rangers are going to want more than that. Like, you know, I think the Rangers are trying to see if they can get something bigger, like maybe a Kapanen-type player, but I don't think Toronto's willing to do that either. So it's kind of a poker game there right now, and I'm not sure if it's going to lead anywhere.
Are they committed to moving Chris Kreider? Is an extension likely? How would you handicap that?
I think that's I wouldn't say likely. I think that's also a poker game. I think it's going to come down to, like, what happens if, and again, they lost last night, but they're kind of around the race. They got the Islanders tomorrow, I think, that's their last game. And then they've got that back-to-back with Detroit out of the All-Star break for them. I think that's going to tell. Like, if the Rangers are in it, they might not trade anybody. I could see them holding and going for it. You know, these teams, like, it, making the playoffs, you cannot underestimate how important it is for business. And I could see them sitting there and saying, you know what, if we're in the race, we're going to hold.
It's stunning to think we've seen seven coaches handed their walking papers, albeit for a multitude of reasons, not just the on-ice performance of hockey clubs. It was, what, a year, 2 years ago we went the full season without a firing in season?
Yeah.
Do you see more, well, or is this just what happens when you have a year without firings? There's going to be some on the other side of the ledger, too.
Yeah, swings the other way. I think that the quality of coach there is a big deal. Like, you know, Gallant, if he wants to, he's going to be back in. And I think that has a lot to do with it, Ryan, is that, you know, the quality of coach available. If you're firing someone, you need someone better. And there's good guys out there. I know a lot of people are talking about Detroit with Gallant. But, you know, I don't know if he's going to want to lose for two more years. He's not really wired that way. So I think that's going to be the most interesting question about him, but I could see a situation where teams are interested in him.
Fascinating. Thank you for your time, Elliot. Appreciate it. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Elliot Friedman, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe, your store for everything door and more. Installing doors for your business, glass doors, sliding doors, and handicap accessible doors, plus frames and hardware. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.